Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right, Trish, I know that you like a little lunch, but we are now recording in the afternoon, so I feel I must ask you what you had for lunch, because that's one of our questions we always ask, isn't it? What's for tea? What's for lunch?
Well, we normally do the show What's for Breakfast, don't we, before
yes.
we start? Well, it was a bit of a disaster, actually, because I had my leftovers. You know, I like to do all my cooking and then have
batch
things
cocking.
For lunch.
Yeah.
My batch cocking, exactly. Batch cocked last weekend, and I made a lovely nasi goreng. Is that how you say it? From the Anna Jones book. Sort of rice, tofu, cabbage, carrots. Yummy, yummy. And I put too much soy sauce on it this lunchtime. So I ruined my lovely batch-cocked nasi goreng. It's not good.
That would have presented a dilemma for you, Trish, wouldn't it? Because you wouldn't have been able to throw it away.
No.
Because you have eaten bread with mould on it before.
Oh, yes.
So what did you do? Did you wash it?
No, I ate it, and I have subsequently drunk about 20 glasses of water. So if I have to stop and go to the loo, please excuse me.
Welcome to Postcards from Midlife. I'm Lorraine Candy.
And I'm Trish Halpin.
If you're living in a hormonal hot house, feeling a bit overwhelmed and in need of some positive, uplifting and comforting guidance on how to lead a more magnificent midlife, then this is the show for you.
We chat to celebrities and experts on all things midlife, from menopause and perimenopause to parenting teens, via fashion, beauty, wellness, nutrition, fitness, careers, relationships, caring for elderly relatives and your finances.
Yes, we ask experts and famous guests all the questions you need answered to have a happier, healthier and more harmonious second act.
Lorraine, I'm taking a gamble here because what I'm about to say might put you in a right old fowler, a boiling rage, and then we'll be on a downhill slope from the start of the show.
You can't spoil my mood, Trish, because we've got a glitzy little A-lister. A kind of name drop extraordinaire for me in future, this one. This is our season finale as a guest. And I'm packing my bag after we finish because I'm going to pop my little neoprene swim hat or Morag's bonnet, as we know it, on this podcast. We're off to Cornwall for the week's holiday. So
lovely.
Unless it's about Margot the podcat, which might set me off because, you know, feline shenanigans always spark a little rage in me. You know, I don't think you can upset me.
Well, okay, so I'm going to do it. Someone has described you as sweet.
Well, oh dear.
Well, she actually said both of us were sweet. But I don't think that's a word you would ever associate with yourself, is it?
No, I think anyone who knows me would not describe me as sweet, would they? I mean, I do hear it a lot, though, because of my surname, Candy.
Oh,
so often I will say Lorraine Candy, and then some man will say, oh, sweet as candy, and then they'll take a look at my face and regret that they said that instantly.
Ah, you're RBF.
Yes, exactly. I fear, though, that people often use the word sweet when they can't think of anything else to describe someone. So it sort of feels a bit passive-aggressive, personality-free zone description to me sometimes.
Okay. Well, that's interesting, because I don't mind being called sweet, because it makes me feel really young. Because I think only young people are sweet, aren't they?
Babies, Trish.
Babies are sweet. They are sweet. But the dictionary definition, because I decided to look it up, pleasant, kind and gentle towards other people. I quite like that.
Well, that is you most of the time, except when Judgy Marion, your alter ego, escapes. Or when you go all fizzy and the tech, you know, when the tech goes wrong and you go a bit fizzy. Or when I cock up that bloody diary situation of ours by going into the giant spreadsheet and pressing a button. Anyway, who uttered the S word for us?
It was actually in a very lovely email we received from a listener about last week's show with the author and writing coach, Kathy Rensenbrink. We had quite a few messages about Kathy, actually. And You know how much I like talking about her because she is my new girl crush these days. Or is it lady crush? Is that what we say?
I don't know. I don't know if we can say it or whether we'd be cancelled or just don't say anything about crushing
Don't
people.
Say it. Okay, here's what Isolde, our lovely listener, had to say. She said, I'm reaching out to you to say thank you. Your podcast always points me to the right people to follow. A month ago, I lost my mum at 66 years of age due to sudden heart failure. We were very close and I'm utterly heartbroken. I listened to your podcast this morning and after the interview with Kathy Rensenbrink, I downloaded her book, How to Feel Better, A Manual for Heartache, and it's like someone put a warm blanket over me. I feel seen and heard and consoled. Thank you so much for introducing your listeners to such wonderful people and for being your sweet and funny selves. There we are, sweet and funny. What a combo.
I'd like to put a warm blanket over you one day, Trish.
Not in a comforting way, I should imagine. More a smothering kind of way.
Anyway, thank you so much, Isolde, for getting in touch, because that is a lovely email and we're really sorry to hear about your dear mum. So I will make an exception to being called sweet by you. Now, Kathy also inspired Jill to write in to us. I think we had lots of letters about
yes.
Kathy. It was really lovely. Obviously, resonated. Jill said, I'm one of your older listeners, 68-ish, and have been listening from the start. Having had a radical hysterectomy by then, along with a fast and furious menopause, and never having used makeup or been a dedicated follower of fashion, I enjoyed the podcast. I then had chemotherapy for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and my body felt vulnerable. So all the help, that's from us, Trish, all the help you gave, re-skin, hair, etc., has been very useful. Now that my daughter is heading towards the menopause, I listen out for tips for her too. So your retreat episode with Kathy Rensenbrink fired me up. I am going to put all my wee jottings together in a book format for my family to find when they gut the house once I'm gone. So a long-winded thank you for my Sunday morning listening as I have coffee in my bed.
Nice. That hasn't triggered any death naths in you.
Oh, always. Always.
Because she's for when she's gone. But anyway, that's really lovely to hear. And I love the idea of Jill leaving a surprise for her family to find. I have to say, I got some letters that my mum wrote to me, I think when I was at university, quite a few years before she passed away, and also from my late grandmother, who was a really prolific letter writer. And I can't tell you how special they are. They really bring them both to life for me, because it's the way they speak, looking at their writing. It's kind of like they're in the room with me and I can see them and hear them. It's lovely. Nobody writes letters these days, certainly not handwrites them. So Kathy's advice, I think, last week about getting writing, I think it just really resonated, didn't it? Whether it's journaling, letter writing, a memoir. It's one of my favourite pieces of advice from this series, in fact, from lovely Kathy.
Well, hold that thought, Trish, because we are going to be jibber-jabbering shortly about our favourite bits and bobs from this season, season 11. After today's show, we're going to be taking a short break, but fear not, lovely listeners, we will be back. I mean, I think it's only a couple of weeks, isn't it, Trish? We're coming back.
Yeah.
We're going to have a little lie down, then we'll be back. And we've got quite a stellar lineup, actually, for season 12, Postcards from Midlife. We're going to kick off with Mo Gordat. Now, I guess you'd call him my guru crush.
Okay.
He's an absolutely fascinating man. He was the chief business officer for Google X. So he's got this massive brain. But he had quite a lot of trauma and tragedy in his life. And he's written books as a result of that. And he explains a lot of life based on quantum physics. Bear with me. It's very interesting. And do you know what it stopped, Trish? Stopped the whole death
situation. Okay,
for me.
Good.
So Mo is my guru crush. And we are ending our season today on a really big one. This was so exciting. I can't believe we got to do it, actually. We only met Jolie Richardson, didn't we, in person. We interviewed her, which is coming up after our jibber-jabber section.
Yes.
And you're not going to want to miss it, because she's full of advice. Do you know what I love, Trish? I love the fact that when we saw her striding towards us, all 5'11" or whatever of her, we both said, "Ooh, Stella McCartney jumpsuit."
Yes, exactly. We knew those spangly horses, didn't we? We knew. She was just gorgeous and so elegant. And you're all going to get to hear from her very shortly. I mean, so much glamour in one podcast, from your bonnet, Morag's bonnet, to Jolie's Stella McCartney jumpsuit. Anyway, before we get on with it, I have a question for you, Lorraine. What can you buy for £1.25
Is this a maths quiz? Are you trying to squeeze in one more quiz before the end of the season to sort of show me up? Is it the price of a tin of Margot's caviar luxury cat food situation?
Well, it probably is actually, because she's a very high maintenance cat with no concept of budgeting at all.
Actually, I do know what you can buy. With that £1.25, you can buy a third of a latte from Starbucks. I know this because my children are wasting their pocket money on it. You can buy 4/5 of a packet of my beloved hobnobs, and you can buy just over a kilogram of apples from Sainsbury's, Trish, which is not a lot at all, is it?
No, I'm going to say probably 3 apples is a kilogram.
Yeah, 3 apples for £1.25.
It's not a lot. It's not a lot, is it? Tell you what else you can get for £1.25 a week. Really good value. You get the chance to support the world of Postcards from Midlife so that we can keep on making this podcast, bringing you fabulous guests who will share advice that can help change your life. And it will also help us to keep up the work behind the scenes of the fabulous Postcards Facebook group, which offers so much wonderful support. And you'll find answers to any and every single question you can possibly think of on there. And you will also get a fortnightly newsletter or mini magazine with lots of articles, tips, advice, shopping, etc., interviews written by us, delivered to your inbox via the Substack newsletter platform.
Yes, we are going to do, and we're doing it as we speak, that thing we're always advising our community of midlife women to do. We are asking you for some help because we would benefit from some financial support to keep this old show on the road, because obviously the podcast is free to listen to and we're really glad you tune in every week. Very grateful to have you here. And the Facebook group is free to join, of course. But what we're asking the £1.25 a week for is to sign up to our newsletter, our Substack newsletter. Now, it does take us both a couple of days to compile it. We have to interview people, find information. We have to go through all sorts of things that are coming up because we want you to be up to date. We want to give you all of that information. So we do need to charge for it. And even if you think that you might not read it regularly because it is a fortnightly, so it's every other week newsletter, you can dip in and out of the fabulous archive. We've done 11 now. There is tons of advice. There are book lists, there are health advice. We're going to do transcripts from the show and we do interviews with women telling amazing stories. So you're not just getting a newsletter. You're actually also, if you subscribe on Substack, enabling us to continue all the work we do with the Postcards from Midlife community. All you have to do is go to this website address, all one word, fromlorraineandtrish.substack.com and sign up. And we would be super, super grateful. It'd be very, very helpful because we do want to keep doing the Substack, but we would like more people to support it. So if you can't remember that, or you haven't got the opportunity to write it down as we're speaking, then you can also email us at the usual address, hello@postcardsfrommidlife.com, and we can send you a link, or you can direct message us. It's me on Instagram and it's Trish on Facebook, and we can send you a link then.
Yes, there we are. We have asked the universe for some help, so let's see if she answers.
So it's time for a wee jibber jabber, as we call it, and we thought we'd do a little roundup of some of the things that we have learned from our guests in season 11 and some of the things that we've learned from our lovely Facebook group over the past few months, because your words of wisdom are all over the group and you do send us some lovely emails. Also, quick housekeeping reminder, if you love the podcast, hit subscribe or download on your app because that does help us. And we'd like a little review if you can, a dreamy review, because it does sort of, I feel like it might warm up Trish's little vests every time someone leaves a review.
I know, a little glow under the vest. It's very nice, isn't it? Anyway, I think we might even fit in a brain fog blooper or two as well, as we know you all love them as much as we do. So right, Lorraine, you kick off. What did you learn this season?
Well, one of the best learnings for me was listening to Jules Oliver, who we had towards the end of the season. And it was a really open and honest conversation about who she was and how she felt. And she was really good on her vulnerabilities. She did say, I probably need therapy after looking after her dad in her childhood and him dying early. So all of that she gave us, all that emotion, I just thought, God, wow, how refreshing. Most people keep that all in and they don't share it. And that, listen, is one of the highest we've ever had in the 4 years. And also 430 7 accounts were reached by that video we did of it on our Instagram.
I think you mean 437,000.
That's what I mean, 437,000. Thank you. Yes, that's what I mean. It's the maths. Reach was huge. So what she was talking about, just by being herself, because you can't live a lie, and she was saying she feels she can do that now she's 50. Mm. I just thought that was really refreshing. And it was something Kathy said, Kathy Ransom-Brink, when we chatted to her at the retreat, that life is just easier when you're just yourself. And I don't think you get to be able to do that till you're in your midlife. You just can't live a lie, can you? And Anna Whitehouse, who came on at the beginning of the season, I think she was our first episode, said when she was talking about her divorce and starting a new life, you just can't live a lie. It is better to be authentically who you are. And I thought that was really nourishing and refreshing, and it reminded me that I don't do this so much, but we hear it a lot in the community. People pleasing is not very healthy for you when you reach this stage of life. Not setting boundaries around what you can and cannot do, it's, you know, not being able to tell people exactly what you feel about things. It's just much healthier to just be who you are, whether people like it or not. What do you think, Trish?
I think that's sweet, as the teenagers might say. No, I agree with you about Jules, and she was just so warm and herself, wasn't she? And she said that I was really surprised that she did open up as much as she did. It's a really lovely listen. So if you haven't listened yet, do pop back in and have a go at that one. So I was going to go a little bit more practical, because obviously we have a balance of the both, don't we? We like to do the kind of emotional as well as the practical. And I have to say, Dr. Nigat Arif, well, we had her on the show. Oh, my goodness. All of that stuff about UTIs, urinary tract infections, which we know blight so many lives, and the work she's done around that and explaining the difference between systemic estrogen and localized estrogen, and the difference that localized estrogen, that's the pessaries that you can use, how they can help for UTIs, how they can help for bladder problems, pelvic floor problems at this stage of life. And I think she just explained it really well. It got me thinking afterwards. I knew so many of my friends, when they had babies, had terrible problems at that stage as well. It's the big hormonal changes, isn't it? So the way she explained that, I thought was really good. And we know that, I think someone in Uruguay, one of our listeners in Uruguay, popped into her chemist, didn't she, and got some, and it saved her holiday, which was brilliant. We don't talk about the menopause as much as we did in the early days, because we've had every expert, haven't we, leading experts on the show about it. But she gave us a quick roundup, which I think was really good in the context of UTIs, because there is still so much wrong messaging out there about meno. And I think also it's the way it's reported. So the big hoo-ha about the Avanti goodie bag. Do you remember that?
Yes, the train company, the Avanti.
The train company. So they, so it was reported in the press about this goodie bag they handed out to their menopausal staff, which included, I'm just going to read out a couple of them, a jelly baby in case you feel like biting someone's head off.
Well, you know where you can put that, don't you?
Paperclip to help you keep it all together. A candle to remind you there is light at the end of the tunnel, a pencil to write down the things you might forget, and chocolate. Hey, great excuse to eat chocolate. That was some of the things on the list.
Which they would never have given to a man.
It sent us all into a right old rage, didn't it? Cross, cross, cross. But of course, it was terrible, but it was taken out of context because they've actually
misjudged,
been doing quite a lot
it?
Of... Yeah, it was misjudged. They've been doing quite a lot of stuff, I believe, for their female staff, with sort of female, you know, the menopause cafes and drop-in talks and things like that. So got to get the messaging right. It's really important for us midlife ladies, isn't it?
You've got to get the messaging right, but you've got to get the information out, and you've still got to start a conversation. And that started a conversation, and it didn't come from a bad place. It came from a good place. And we're not in a war of not talking about it versus talking about it. Now, I did learn something else, and this brings out Militant, obviously, my furious feminist alter ego.
She's back.
Now, I loved Nisha Katona, the Mowgli Street Food founder, the chef on the show. I just thought she was so wise and intelligent and smart. And she'd been a lawyer before she became she's a chef extraordinaire and businesswoman. And one of the things that she talked about was bringing what she called the matriarchal leadership model into the kitchen, which is very rare in the cooking culinary world. And she talked about paternity, didn't she, having maternity leave when you've got a dog, because you do need to be at home when they're small and everything. You know, this just sort of more open, working with your staff kind of way. It's not a softer kind of way or more emotional. It's just working with the staff to keep them happy so they stay, so your business is more of a success. And she also mentioned when we chatted about that shouting thing that happens in the kitchen and all those chefs bellowing at each other, and referred back to when she was a lawyer dealing with domestic violence. And she said the perpetrators of domestic violence would say, "I'm shouting at you because I love you. I'm hurting you because I love you." And she said it was came from a similar feeling. And I thought that's really interesting. And then there were headlines this week. Asma Khan, who's 54, she's a midlife woman, another chef. She owns Darjeeling Express. It's phenomenally successful. She has an all-female kitchen in Soho. And she was talking about the Me Too moment that's coming to the culinary world. And she also mentioned that there are 52 Michelin stars last year in France. Only 6 go to women.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, it's not as if our lady parts get in the way of us cooking. But, you know, I don't think men quite understand it. I don't think it's not the men, it's the system. And a friend of mine's husband has been doing a bit more cooking at home to help out because she's got a new job. He's at home more. And I was sort of chatting to him about it. And I said, "Are you enjoying it?" And he said, "Oh, well, I don't begrudge it." I said, "Oh, because you see cooking for a Michelin star as men's work, but you see cooking at home as women's work." And I don't think he was being unkind or thoughtless. He just didn't understand the systems within which we work, which are quite unfair.
Yeah.
I really learned from Nisha that you just have to take a step back and question it so that your daughters don't fall into that trap and their husbands aren't begrudging it.
I'll quickly mention one of the comments then on that Avanti thing we were just talking about on the Facebook group. So one of our members said that when her mum went through the menopause, her dad bought her a stool so she could sit down when she was doing the washing up.
Like something from a 1990s sitcom. But it's not unkind, is it? It's just not understanding.
Well, it's funny, actually, that you were talking about that, the matriarchal workplace, because we took a different angle on this early on in the series in one of our How to Win sections, where we were talking about a book by Parvez Khan. I interviewed Parvez, which is talking about toxic female bosses. So that was a sort of different approach because we'd never had that conversation before, yet we'd both experienced toxic female bosses. We had a discussion around the behaviours that really do women a disservice in the workplace. So whether that's toxic leadership or just adopting and really buying into the malevolent sort of masculine culture or reinforcing harmful stereotypes, isn't it? So I suppose it does tie in with that. So if you're in one of those places, in one of those kitchens, it probably is hard to stand up to. I thought that was really interesting, and that this idea that we hold women to different standards, that we as women do it ourselves. We can often buy into stereotypes, judging women on how they look. I thought that was a really useful chat as well. And that was in our second episode of the season with the fitness coach, Adrian Adami. So if you're into work, careers, want a bit of information about that, check that out. And so the webinars, we hosted some webinars, didn't we, for careerscanchange.co.uk.
We have been busy, Trish, busy girls, retreats, webinars, podcasts.
Exactly. So if you want a little bit of career advice, you can pop on there and have a look at that as well. A final little thought from you?
Well, I liked Michael Mosley in his wardrobe.
Oh, yes. He was literally in his wardrobe, wasn't he?
And very close to the screen.
Yes, lovely Michael, lovely Michael.
But very helpful, because lots of people wrote to us saying that they listened to that and they are now sleeping through the night like babies. So thank you, Michael.
Yes, and the whole sleep and gut health connection, we were very interested in that because we do like talking about our gut health. So bits of advice, just general advice from the lovely listeners on the Facebook group. This is probably one for me, but overthinkers like me. Someone was posting a problem, something they were really upset about. And Nikki gave this advice, you know, for people like me who sometimes find it hard to take a step back and get perspective. She said, ask yourself, is this issue going to matter in 5 weeks' time, in 5 months' time, and in 5 years' time? If the answer is no, spend no more than 5 minutes on it. I like that.
That's my mantra for life, Trish.
Is it? You just do that, don't you?
I don't overthink. I just ask a lot of questions and I do it.
Yeah, I like that. So I'm going to be doing my 5-5-5-5-5-5 from now on. Yeah, very good.
We also love the way the members of the group look out for each other. And we see this every season, don't we? And it's so sweet. This is a public service message from Julie Kelly, and it's really important. And we thought we should mention it on the show. She says, I flag this issue probably annually in the hope that at least one woman will get her blood pressure checked. I had severe preeclampsia nearly 26 years ago, and as I'm part of a research group, I'm fully aware of the long-term effects. My concern is that there are many others who had preeclampsia and are not fully informed. I am on two types of hypertension medication. I don't drink or smoke, and I am active. So my hypertension is a mix of genetics plus the preeclampsia. So if you had a premature baby due to preeclampsia, please get checked at your GP. So get your blood pressure checked to your GP. We are at greater risk of cardiovascular issues and should be aware. That is brilliant, isn't it, Trish, to get that out there. And reiterating, I suppose, what Dame Leslie Regan told us on the show about how your health in pregnancy can possibly predict your health in midlife and your older years. So it's things like preeclampsia, high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, osteoporosis, all the things that may have affected you during your fertile pregnancy years may be relevant to this time of life.
Yeah, that was very helpful. So thank you, Jules, for that. And she did actually also post some more information about the research study that she is involved with and how to take your blood pressure correctly, which is all very helpful. So just search Julie Kelly on the Facebook group and her post will come up. Now, I think it's time for a blooper or two. Shall we see what we've got in the bag? Rustling in the bag there.
Can I just mention the baby hedgehog that was a bobble
hat? Oh, yes.
Because they say that wasn't a that was a brain fog blooper. I'm absolutely telling you, that poor frazzled midlife woman.
Go on, explain the story.
Well, somebody found a baby hedgehog, nursed it overnight, took it to hedgehog rescue. When she got there, they said, madam, this is a bobble off the top of a bobble hat. It's a grey bobble off the top. And my first thought was, oh, my God, that she just had a list of things she had to do that day. Nurse that, fix bobble hat. And she just got the two confused. And the hedgehog's in the coat cupboard in the hall.
Probably, you're probably right. That is a very good blooper. Yes. Oh, it's the bobble. That's so funny.
I know,
buddy.
It's very cute.
Well, listen, we've got a couple here as well. So let's do this one. Kick off with one from Lizette, who says, I decided to run myself a lovely bath after a day of gardening. Having left it for 10 minutes or so, I went back to check, thinking that it should be ready, and I can't wait to soak my aching joints. Only to find I hadn't put the plug in.
I know, but we've all done that, haven't we?
Oh, no, that wasted water and lovely bubble bath.
You don't like that, do you, the wasted water? Jackie's got one. She says, I spent 15 minutes trying to find my car keys. Couldn't find them, so I called work to say I'm going to be late. I thought, well, I'll have a little cup of tea, calm down, rethink my steps, open the fridge to get the milk. Guess what's staring at me on the shelf? I do this once a week.
Was it a hedgehog? Was it a hedgehog?
Bobble hat, top of a bobble hat, yeah. And Emma said, went to collect my prescription today. When signing, I had to ask, what's the date? 11th, the receptionist said. Another pause. Then I had complete brain freeze. And I said, and what's the month? Followed up with, who am I and why am I here?
Where am I? Oh, my God. Well, we've all been there. So do keep those bloopers rolling in, as they really do brighten up the day. We're still going to be on the Facebook group and checking our emails on our wee little break for the next couple of weeks. So please keep in touch, ladies. Now on with the show. For our season finale interview, we have pulled out all the stops and are absolutely delighted to have bagged one of our favourite actresses, Jolie Richardson, for this week's show. We met up with Jolie a few days ago at a swanky hotel in London to talk about her latest project, Disney Plus's Renegade Nell, which we are super excited about because it's got all our perfect telewatching ingredients. It's written by Sally Wainwright of Happy Valley and Gentleman Jack fame, and it also stars Louisa Harland, aka Orla, from the brilliant Derry Girls. Renegade Nell is a rip-roaring feminist take on 18th century highway robbery, with Jolie giving a scene-stealing performance as Lady Eulalia Moggahanger. The actress has been gracing the stage, small and big screens, for 40 years now in roles such as 101 Dalmatians, Lady Chatterley's Lover, Nip Tuck, Event Horizon, The Patriot, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. And now at the age of 59, she is certainly not slowing down, with standout roles in The Gentleman and One Day most recently. Acting is, of course, in her blood. She is one of the fourth generation of the Redgrave acting dynasty, the daughter of Vanessa Redgrave and the director Tony Richardson, and her sister Natasha also forged a career in the art before dying in a tragic skiing accident 15 years ago. Jolie's 32-year-old daughter Daisy Bevan, from her marriage to the film producer Tim Bevan, is also following in the family footsteps. Jolie joins us today to talk about her remarkable life and career. And here she is.
Welcome to Postcards from Midlife, Jolie.
Thank you very much. How great are postcards? No, I mean, aren't they just the best? Old and what school. I love is that the younger generation, I get lots of postcards from people in their 20s and 30s, friends of mine now, and I'm really glad that that hasn't become extinct.
Oh, well, good. Well, we like to share our postcards every week of, yep. from the front lines of midlife. But listen, Renegade Nell, we absolutely loved it.
Have
I mean, we're
seen
huge.
The whole thing?
I have, yes.
Oh, well done.
Right the way through to the end.
I've seen.
It's amazing.
I've seen two episodes. I've seen the first two, obviously. Because there was a cast and crew. I loved it. I mean, I can say that because I wasn't in those two.
Yes.
I loved it, but I haven't seen
You haven't seen yourself yet?
No, I haven't.
Wow, okay.
I think they sent me the episodes, but it's been quite a sort of crazy time, and so I haven't seen
had the time. Well,
but I loved first one and two. I thought they were amazing, quite fantastic. Yeah. All the performances, all the characters.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were very good, we can tell you that. you haven't
Am
seen
I very
yourself.
Large?
You are fabulous. Your character is amazing. I think this is what we love
Lady
about
Eulalia.
Yes, Moga Hanger.
Well, there was this thing at the TCAs where Louisa and I went over to do them, which is Television Critics Association, and we were prepped beforehand that the room is famously difficult because they're so tired of another group of actors being, you know, wheeled in, talk about the show, next group. That we were told not to panic if there's literally zero reaction when you're talking about the show, because honestly, we were on for 15 minutes or something. And so we were prepped, started, you know, very, very subdued until I said the name of my character, Lady Eulalia Moga Hanger, and the room erupted in laughter. It was just one of those freak things. But that is basically all down to Sally Wainwright.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, she's genius.
You must have loved that script when it landed in front of you.
I did, because it was... I have never played a character like her. She's so over the top. She's so larger than life. She's, you know, the least sensitive person in the world. And there was just something so freeing to just go there. It being comedy, but... You know, again, it's all the script. It's all Sally Wainwright.
Mm. We love her writing, obviously, Gentleman Jack, Happy Valley. She has these such powerful female characters and real mavericks as well, you know.
Yes.
Lady Eulalia, bit of a maverick.
Yes.
Tell us about her.
And Louisa is Renegade Nell, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's kind of become a bit cod, the sentence, but actually, in the best sense, all her projects are female-centric. So from our lead, Louisa Harland, as Nell, and then, you know, my four episodes of this crazy newspaper tycoon who is mad and selfish but super smart and takes no prisoners.
How much Jolie and is an enormous... Lady Eulalia then? You look like you were having the most fun.
I did have the most fun. I could do with a good dose of that, if I'm honest. We're not obvious bedfellows at all. That's why she was such fun to play. Even, you know, when I look at a script, it's the sort of voice comes to you of the character. And I knew that someone asked me this morning if I did an accent, and I said not an accent as such, but a voice. You know, it's all about the placement, and hers was sort of very much in her head and more nasal. And then I actually have to give a bit of credit to my friend, because as an actor, when you're learning lines, it's really helpful if you run them with a friend before you get on set, so that, you know, you really know what you're doing. And the friend I was running them with was American, and he said, how about pronouncing Nellie Jackson in a different way? And that became that Lady Eularia pronounces Nellie Nielly. So it kind of all stemmed from there. But no, she's a really wonderful character. And it was nice because given the subject matter of older women, I get offered... I think it was it Tracy Ullman who said that her and Meryl Streep famously said over a certain age, it's the witch years, you get offered a lot of witches or you get offered a lot of baddies. And it's like, why? Why is a woman over 55, you know, a baddie? And that's why also Lady Eularia is so brilliant, because she's a whole mix and we don't know what she was. And actually, to my knowledge, but actually it's true, they changed the storylines as the character started to evolve.
Okay. And I think the costumes, we have to give a mention to Tom Pye and Lady Eularia's costumes are incredible. I mean, you looked perfection, but I bet it was quite hard to get into those and the makeup and the hair every day.
It's a bit of a long answer. So Tom Pye's design, that's the other thing about Lady Eularia. I mean, her look is everything, and she's big scale, she large, colourful, and Tom made that. But there was something so fabulous, because our studio base was Ealing Studios, which is quite oldie-worldy. They still do a million shows there. But all the seamstresses, the detail in the costumes, I mean, they literally are, each one's a work of art. Is it a bit arduous? Yes, a little bit, but I always feel funny saying that, because when I've seen it written in print, you know, it's a total blessing and a privilege to be able to wear such masterpieces. But at the same time, you do have to be strong, because then on top of all the costumes, and it was the summer of the heat wave, Jill Sweeney, who was the hair and makeup, you know, the wigs and then the hats on top of the wigs. I'm already almost 5'10", so then you have to imagine 2 or 3 feet on top of my head. I spread, you know, about 3 metres wide. I was like a travelling show.
You're
all by myself.
Taking up a lot of space, it's good.
Yeah. And how do you stay fit and healthy and prepared for something like that? Because it is quite a physical role as well, that penultimate... Don't want to give anything away because it's so good in the newspaper office. I mean, that's really physical. You have to be really strong.
Hysterical.
How do you look after yourself? Well, for those of us who wish we looked like you.
Thank you. What were we allowed to say without giving it away? I think we can say there's a fight, right?
Yes,
we're allowed to say that. They took us to this gymnasium. It was near Heathrow Airport. And it was really fun because I hadn't done a lot of that since I was sort of like a young teenager.
Sporty
when I
at school,
used to do gymnastics, and there were all the mats, and you know, you go through each move and put it all together with the stunt people, but then when we got to actually film it, and then I, with the added costumes and wigs, I really went for it. And MJ Delaney, who was the director of this episode, she was like, oh my God, I have no idea if that is like, it's sort of brilliant, scary and hilarious all at the same time. And, oh, I can't give the next bit.
But do you exercise a lot? Because you were really sporty at school, weren't you?
Yes, I am. I am quite sporty. And the thing is that... exercise is a big part of my life. Not gym, not Pilates, not yoga, all of which I'd love to do. I just, for some reason, haven't. So walking, dog walking. A year ago, I took up tennis again. I love swimming. And I just find that it's my way of coping with stress. It's really good for my mental health. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a way of just getting rid of that surplus energy. You know, all of us, we have these manic lives, all the electronics, the sort of level of toxic energy can build up, and exercise is my way of getting rid of it. Mm-hmm. So I am naturally sporty. But I've yet to do the whole gym Pilates, and I look forward to it. I went to a retreat in January, and there was a bit of yoga in that, and I loved it. I'm just not... very disciplined and not very good at sitting still, as you can see. I'm bouncing around.
Oh, well, you certainly look amazing. And I mean, today you're wearing the most incredible black with sparkly horses. I think Stella McCartney jumpsuit, top and trousers. Very nice.
Top and trousers.
And one of the
yeah.
things we love about you as well is that you give such good red carpet. I mean, you always have done. And we loved seeing you, especially I think it was the gentleman,
the
red
gentleman.
Carpet. You had on a mini dress with yeah. feather trim yeah. and yeah, knee-high yeah. leather boots.
Yeah, and fishnets.
And fishnets. I mean, yeah. amazing.
Fishnets are just
we
fantastic,
love that.
Aren't they? Thank you.
And how,
I say fishnets
like...
always. They're the best tights.
Yeah,
because they
secret.
Sort of give you cover and they're revealing and they've got a nice little
yeah.
bit of edge to them.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Well, it looked really good. And we
thank
love that you just... You go for it. You do it. I mean, that hasn't changed since you were in your 20s, 30s. I mean, have you changed? Have you evolved, do you think, in terms of style and age? Or are you just still going for that look?
I think there's an element of winging it every single mm-hmm. time. Because actually the story with the gentleman premiere was that Jennifer Mikulski-Berry, who I work with and I've worked with him, sorry, that's Tommy. I have had breakfast. We had actually got a couple of really lovely, very classic black looks, but then at the 11th hour, these amazing Hermes boots turned up, and I was like, okay, fishnets, okay, if we've got these, maybe the shorter dress. And I was actually filming in Bournemouth at the time, so it was a mad dash to London, mad dash to the premiere. Do it, Q&A, take it all off, dash back to Bournemouth. You know what? It's so funny. Like, even with Instagram, with all these things, there's always a story behind the story. It's never what you see. That whole thing was a mad dash, mm-hmm. and that little dress came up at the last moment. But I think that's evolved because, I mean, say, I think it was in my 30s, the gold dress mm-hmm. moment, the Julia McDonald that... And, you know, it was a lot more revealing. The black gentleman dress was great fun, but I felt it was also quite a... It was like a naughty, sophisticated mm-hmm. look.
Can we talk a little bit about how much work you have now as you're approaching 60? But you are literally in everything on telly at the moment. You're in The Gentleman, you're in One Day,
yeah.
and Sandman, and
yeah.
Renegade. Now, this is a
Lady
lot
Chatterley.
Of what
yeah.
Lady Chatterley.
Yeah.
And we talk to lots of celebrities on the show who say they're getting more work than they've ever had because older women are on screen a lot more. And previously, as you say, as Tracy Ullman said, it was the witch roles. But it's not like that now. It's a much more positive... place, isn't it? Is that what you're finding?
I think it definitely
is
a more yeah. positive place. There are more roles. And I think I look at it, I take a step back and I think stories reflect what is going yeah. on in all of our lives, don't they? So scripts and films. So it's how also women are evolving in terms of society. It's all the different, you know, thinking about health and fitness, that's had a big effect. So this is what I always say to friends who are turning 50, and they're like, oh my God, it's so strange, I don't know. And I say, the lead up to 50 is strange. Well, it was for me.
Yeah.
Did you find that?
A bit odd, yeah. 55 yeah. I found a bit odd as well, but yeah. Mm. But now I feel great. So.
Yeah, I think 55 I found less odd, but 50... Mm. itself was a real bridge. And I think before you cross over it, it's a bit, I don't know what this age is, how am I meant to define myself? But I say to friends, the minute you're over it, what I felt was just freedom.
Mm.
I think without realising it, you know, we're all brought up in a certain way in terms of the patriarchy and what we're to do, what, you know, what our idea of success is if we have families. And then when we get a little bit older, we suddenly think, oh my gosh, this is my time to do whatever I want to, express myself in whatever way that I find true to this inner being, whatever that is, and that there's wonderful freedom. I think for me, artistically, I just feel braver because, yeah, again, that freedom comes into work. Like with Lady Eulalia, that time in my life, I was feeling really happy. I was just feeling really brave. When I got the script, I was doing this reading at the Hay Festival. And one of the readings was a comic one of actually our late queen. And it was a recipe for scones. And I just remember that the impersonation came. And I've always had that in me. I've always felt like one of my dream jobs would be on Saturday Night Live, doing all those skits where you get to be a different character in each one. So that's why these roles where I feel you can just take more chances, more risks.
And you definitely see this sense of freedom and fun and joy via your Instagram account, so which is lovely. Now, you only went on Instagram, I think, about 2 years ago, and you said that you wanted to do it to just be me, who I am, just so it is out there with the other stuff. Why was that important to you, Jolie?
Because I'm a real Luddite.
Mm-hmm. Join the club.
I don't know.
Can't tell you what we went through to watch the screeners.
Okay, that's a language I understand. Yeah, I was like, okay, that was the other part, how to find the screeners. Yes. Oh, dear. Absolute Luddite. So I've never looked myself up. I don't look up other people. I've just sort of stayed away. But for some reason, I had to look something up. And I saw myself and I saw these red carpet images. And I just had no relation to who that person was. I could see none of myself. And so it was partly that. And because also I worked with quite a few charities and my humanitarian side of my life, and it was becoming more and more that they needed to work with people for social media. So whereas I could do speeches, I could go on field trips, they needed that thing, and I thought, I really like working with these people, and I need to get with the new the new way of communicating. So it was that twofold, and I've also always been fascinated by what we see and the story behind, or a public person's, what would you call it? You know, the way we see them as opposed to the way they are.
They really are, yeah.
Now, I don't need to know what you do alone on your couch, you know, that.
Don't want to see your breakfast.
Yeah. It's not like exactly how you are. I totally believe in people's privacy, but what public perception, and I will talk about my mother because I saw how other people perceived her and how I would sometimes perceive her seeing her on television as opposed to the real woman. And then, you know, the images were given of people when we're all made up, and today I'm all made up. You know, I didn't get out of bed like this at all. So, like, trying to bring something true into the equation as well. And that was sort of what my Instagram started. I didn't realise it would become so orientated around my family, but I do spend a lot of time with my mother. You know, lots of people.
What do you call her on your Instagram? Tell everyone.
Quite a few names. Which
well,
ones?
I quite like Big Van.
Big Van's a good one. Big Van's a very good one. I actually can't take credit for that. I think it was Emma Thompson that coined the Big Van, and then it kind of stuck. But yeah, as I'm sure you do, there are lots of like family in.
It's very personal. Names. I think one of the things that comes through is friendship and family. And one of the things we talk about a lot with our community around the podcast is that when you get to midlife, female friendships, those are the threads that pull you through. It's the women around you when you have wobbles and you know, because a lot of big stuff happens in midlife that probably hasn't happened before. There's a lot of trauma and a bit of drama and things. So how important are your female friendships and how do you use them in your life? Because you're very busy, so you must need some downtime.
They're not exclusively female friendships. So I did see that on my account that it is predominantly women.
Yeah.
I love women, obviously. I'm very much a woman's woman, I think, but I love men as well. So, and I probably have more female friends than male friends. But I have always known, even when I was younger, that it was my friendships that would carry me through. In my case, you know, I was married for 10 years and then I had a series of sort of like five-year relationships. So they've been sort of substantial, but I always knew that the thread was my friends. So I've never been one of those people who dumps their friends because they've got the relationship. I've always known that we would carry each other through. So I've always known that.
Okay.
I love my friendships and they are. It has been a very busy time. And it's really nice to, I'm sure you feel the same way, right?
We 30 have years we've known each other.
30 years.
She's a little bit older than me.
Yeah, every time she gets that in. I've got one final question for you, Jolie. Your big fluffy dog. We love your big fluffy dog. Tell us about your doggy.
I've had her for 9 years. I had her from a puppy. A friend had puppies. A friend's dogs had puppies. And she's amazing. You know, do you have dogs?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So it's a whole conversation, isn't it?
They're a whole separate family.
What is she a breed, a particular breed?
She's a white shepherd. And they are a tricky breed. And I didn't know this because I would say anyone listening or watching is really, I was very stupid and I didn't find out enough about that breed before we had her. And they're tricky, but it's interesting because they say you learn the lessons you need to from your dog. She's taught me patience, diligence. She's been the most extraordinary teacher.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Jolie. It's been wonderful to talk to you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What an amazing guest to end the season on. And now, even more exciting, our final nostalgia noodle of the season. So for our nostalgia noodle today, I thought I would mention another great telly thing we love, Trish. Race Across the World, won by the Midlife Ladies last year. Fingers crossed there's another midlife team.
One of them was called Trish, so this show might be Lorraine. You never know.
We will be doing it. We're doing it one day. I'm waiting for them to accept us. Anyway, it's back, April the 10th on telly. So a wonderful watch, the series. But it made me think about my childhood holidays, which were, and this is why we win, Trish, like Race Across the World. Because my parents, we didn't go abroad or anywhere. We would go stay in Cornwall and we would have to get in a Volkswagen caravanette, me, my sister, my mum and dad, and any assortment of enormous
animals,
rescue
guinea
dogs.
Pigs, donkeys,
yeah, exactly.
Well,
we had
that.
To take the cat, and there was a guinea pig I had to take once because it wasn't very well and didn't like being on its own. So we would then go to Polzeath, where we went on holiday for our retreat.
About half an hour from your home.
An hour from the house, yes, and unload the aforementioned things. And by that point, it was, you know, no seatbelts, obviously, in the back of the caravan, everything falling on your head. It does set you up for every other holiday being luxury after that. I watched my dad put up the awning and swearing at everybody. And
oh, my God, it was a challenge. I suppose our holidays in those days were a challenge, weren't they? Like Race Across the World. So we only ever went to Ireland, and we do 2 weeks in the summer, and we'd have to get on a 9-hour overnight ferry from Liverpool to Dublin. And that was a challenge. There was a lot of being sick, a lot of drunk people, you know, drinking. We had cabins quite often, which is quite nice. But the only thing is, it's quite exciting. When I got to my teenage years, about 15 or 16, I
always
snogged a boy on the deck. He was lovely. He was very charming. Lovely Irish accent. I think that's what it was. That's what I fell for. Big old snog.
That's a Sally Rooney moment, isn't it, for everybody?
Oh, I loved it. Lovely.
Right then. Now we've given you secrets of our races across Cornwall and Ireland. Thank you very much for listening to the last of this season. We look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks' time after we've had another little rest, race across maybe a race across the lounge for the biscuits for
me. Yes, definitely.
Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you again soon.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.